Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, this week in Survivor, final week of the pre-merge here for Winners at War. I am Rob Cesternino, back with you to talk for this week in Survivor. Here's the man who is ready to talk about the week in Survivor, talk about teaching phys ed remotely. Here is the great Jordan Kalish.
You know what? It was not part of my quarantine plans to have you all go out this early in the game before the merge. I couldn't believe it. If you told me, like, you know, even in the first half of the episode that you'll be getting voted out, I would have told you, A, you're crazy. I would have told you, B, don't put that out into the universe. And it happened. And I am very, very upset. Yul's one of the people in this game that I was rooting for. I thought up until this point he was playing a great game, maybe made a little bit, a few mistakes towards the end where he was just, I think, talked himself maybe out of the game. But he was in what seemed like a really good alliance.
This is a very long intro.
It's all about you, not about me.
Have you not talked to anybody all week, Jordan?
No, I have. I've actually been on the phone a lot. Like, I've had more phone conversations than I ever had. I've been on Zoom for a lot of the day. But yeah, you know what? It's a Friday afternoon. It doesn't even feel like a Friday. I don't know what day it feels like.
We'll get there. You don't have to dump out all your Yule thoughts right in the opening as soon as we say hello.
I have more on Yule. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Let me also bite on that. You said that Yule getting voted out was going to affect your quarantine plan somehow. Did that cause you to, like, run out into the streets?
No, it just made me sad.
Yes. You didn't, like, stress eat all of the food that you had been saving up or anything like that?
No, I still have plenty of food saved up. I did have I made cold sesame noodles this week, and I did have the last of that after the episode. So, but I think that was just dinner. That wasn't a change in plan. Yeah.
All right, we'll hear more about the cold sesame noodles later on and get the recipe out there for everybody. Okay, but our guest this week, very excited to have with us here this week in Survivor, the co-host of the Masked Singer Rehappa. Please welcome the great Pooya Zambakili. Pooya, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Really excited to be here. You know, I thought coming into this, I was sad that Yule's gone, but now I know I don't hold a candle to Jordan being sad that Yule's gone. So I guess I'm medium on Yule being gone, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. So yeah, Jordan has a whiteboard that he holds up. Hashtag Yule be sorry. Like, are you announcing a vendetta against Nick and Michelle and Wendell?
No, I just think they'll be sorry. I think that Nick and Wendell, game-wise, will be sorry that they voted Yule out. I don't think it's going to work out well for them.
Okay. All right. Jordan Kalish calling his shot. This is not going to work out well to vote out Yule. Of course, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here on This Week in Survivor. Pooya, how's everything going with you?
Everything's going very well with me. I have made a switch of locations.
Yes. Tell us more country. About this.
Yeah. So I have moved across the border.
Yes.
I was about to say pond, but that's not the case.
Nope.
So yeah, now I am coming to you live from Liana Boris's apartment.
Yes. Okay. All right. So just could you give us the backstory for any of our podcast listeners who are not keeping up with all of the hot goss?
The hot goss. Yes. So I participated in So You Think You Can Podcast in a cold November 2016.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to go that far. So
yeah, I was going to say, we're getting the long version.
Yeah. No, I'm not. You're not getting the Kalish
version
in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, me and Liana have been together for a while, and it was time to make a move. And then the pandemic said, no move for you. And then we said, listen, pandemic, we're going to try and do this before you really shut us down. Mm-hmm. So then I made the move, and now I'm here. And I live in the USA. In
the USA. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. You don't need to give your address or anything like that. Yeah.
Now, did the cat come with you, or was the cat already there?
No. So my cat was bequeathed onto my sister. So now Winston is with my sister. I have taken on Clam and Pearl, who is somewhere else in the vicinity. Okay. As cats.
But this is a beautiful story of Puya and Liana, who are now together under one roof. This is like a movie that now here you are under all these crazy circumstances. Love wins.
It does.
Love is undefeated.
And it's not blind.
Yes.
I don't know what that show is trying to tell us, but it's not blind.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, excited to have you here with us to talk about this week in Survivor. And I guess that appropriate to start with a relationship story, as the Michelle and Wendell relationship has really been cast such a shadow over these last 2 weeks. Puya, do you have any thoughts on Michelle and Wendell week two? Do you feel like that we've seen a thawing this week?
It's interesting because I have a hard time really understanding their relationship. And I feel like it makes sense. It is a complex relationship. You know, both of them are coming into this season having dated for a while. And then now they're dealing with this scope of the game, and there's 2 million on the line and everyone's trying to win.
Me and Michelle kicked it, you know?
That is the phrase. They did kick it. But yeah, so I feel like they're in a better situation together than what we're seeing. So that's kind of how I'm feeling about it, especially seeing that they are working together to a degree. But are they getting on each other's nerves? 1,000%. Are they getting irritated and short with one another? 1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, this relationship, because I feel like that there's a few different ways to read what's going on in terms of Michelle and Wendell. Jordan, do you have any thoughts on, like, can you rate on a scale of 1 to 10, like, just how functional is the current Michelle-Wendell relationship? Because I feel like that in Michelle's confessional, that her confessionals are a lot of like, oh no, this guy is bad news, I want nothing to do with him, I don't think I can trust him, but... functionally, it seems like they're working together.
My guess to what is happening here is that Wendell is in on not that it's not in on their relationship as far as getting back together. I'm talking about their relationship as far as working together in the game. I think that Wendell sees it as something that he's going to be able to use long term to get himself to the end. I don't think that Michelle views it the same way. Based on the confessional, if I were her, if I'm in her spot, I probably trust Denise and Jeremy a lot more than I trust Wendell. And I think that she was just doing whatever she could to get past this swap, to get to the merge, to get back with her old people. And I really think, like, you know, is Sophie really going to trust Wendell and Nick again? I don't know. So I think maybe she's somebody with Sarah that they could pull in. And I think that. And this is why at the start of the show, I said that I don't think it's going to work out well for Wendell and Nick. It's not just that I'm sad that Yul got voted out, which I am. I think that it was not their best game move. And I think that Wendell is maybe putting too much stock in his previous relationship with Michelle.
Yeah, Puya, it's a good point that Jordan brings up about the repercussions of this. Sure, it makes all the sense in the world for Michelle to want to vote out Yul, because anybody who's going to be mad about this is going to vote out Nick and Wendell. Then nobody's going to be like, damn you, Michelle. Why did you have to come and ruin our perfect original Dekal alliance, you alliance wrecker?
Right. She's not going to be looked at like a Yoko Ono type situation at all. Not at all. I truly think that it just boils down to her and Parvati come in. They're on the outs. Parvati is voted out. So now we're in a situation where Michelle has to do whatever she can. And good on her for making it. But I do think all the anger is going to be towards Nick and Wendell. And I think Nick is probably going to work overtime to make it all be about Wendell and make Wendell seem like a villain. And all the stuff that we've already seen is kind of leading to that Wendell is at this point our one villain of the season for the moment.
Okay. We got to see a little bit of Michelle talking about Wendell and what, you know, maybe she's had it with Wendell because maybe she didn't like how things went in the relationship. And then they had this opportunity at Tribal Council to vote him out. It led to one of the weirder edited sequences in maybe of all time in Survivor. I want to play a little bit of that here today. Let's go back to Michelle talking about how things, where things stand before they went to Tribal Council.
But it makes sense to get rid of Yul because he's super strategic. and he will probably win at the end of this game. So this vote is so difficult, but I went 4 years feeling like I might not have deserved to win my first season. And every single day and every decision that I make, I'm proving it that I deserve it this time and I deserved it that time.
You better be ready. They're coming for you.
Yeah. Here, Jordan, talk some smack about something while I give you that bass riff.
I think I'm going to talk some smack about the choice to use this song in the podcast, in the show. You have music. Survivor has music, and it fits the show. And now we have this ridiculous song that was being used in all the promos, and it doesn't fit. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But it's Sia, right? Isn't it Sia?
I don't think it's Sia. I don't think
it's
Sia.
Is it not Sia? I think so. Okay, maybe that's right.
So I think
also, it didn't make sense to do it when Michelle was talking because it's saying they're coming for you. They were not coming for Michelle. They were coming for each other.
I mean, it also didn't make sense that we're getting like this like Michelle montage about like, that's it. I'm done with Wendell. Maybe I am going to vote him out. It's like, nah, I'm going to vote out Yule. So it's like kind of like a really like emotional like sweat, like you go, Michelle, and vote out Yule. It just was inconsistent, which Michelle totally made the right move. Michelle, big winner from the week.
Michelle did exactly what she should have done.
But the narrative of that, like, Michelle's gonna getting back at Wendell this week, was not exactly what happened. But this is not Sia. I went to this panel that Dalton Ross hosted and moderated, and they talked about Jeff was talking about how they love Survivor, and then when he gets ideas, he puts them into the show, and so. So he talked about a story about how when he was like walking around his house, and then, you know, Jeff is part of that he has, you know, he that. He's from has a mixed marriage. Is it mixed blended family? Is that right? Is that the right term?
Open marriage.
Nope. That's different. Nope. That's not right. That's not right. But he's part of this blended family. And so that one of his sons like was walking by, and then he was like telling him like, oh, dad, what are you doing? And he, Jeff had the idea for like a woman singing this song, and then like phoned it into like a recording studio. And they had some woman like in a matter of like minutes. And they're like, yeah, we need to put this into the show. But that's not Sia.
Okay. I don't know if I saw that somewhere where someone was joking and I took it literally.
I think people think it was Sia from like, oh, what is Sia recording? But it is not Sia. I think it's just like a woman that they got to record this stuff.
It was like a Fiverr situation.
Mm-hmm. Lyric, as Marcus in the chat is wondering, did they say we're coming for Yule? Yeah, they might have told us right there.
Yeah.
It was right in front of us the entire time.
If we don't get 10 wand offs of that on Monday, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, now you're getting them. Now it's happening.
Well, we need Shut Up Tim. We need Shut Up Tim to do one, and then it'll just cancel everyone else out.
knock them all out. Okay, so yeah. we'll see where this Michelle and Wendell storyline is going to go.
I think it's going to work well for Michelle for a while. I have a feeling like I could see Wendell maybe getting past one of the first two, you know, a vote or two after the merge. But then I think that Michelle and her former Sally people, the starting Sally people, are going to make a move against him. So I could actually see this coming down on Nick maybe before it comes down on Wendell, because Michelle might want to string Wendell along.
I feel like this is going bad for Wendell.
I think it's bad for both of them.
Yeah, and I feel like Michelle's definitely voting against Wendell at some point down the line.
Yeah, at some point, maybe not right away, but somewhere down the line, she is going to kick him. Mm-hmm. To the edge.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And like, by the way, I'm not saying that Wendell and Nick should never have voted out Yule. I'm saying that it was your pre-merge. You have what's what has been portrayed as a very tight three-person alliance and actually a four-person alliance with Sophie. And I get not wanting to go to the end of the game with Yule. You should not go to the end of the game with Yule. The guy is super smart. He's one of, you know, maybe one of the best speakers to play the game. I mean, he just explains things so well and has a very interesting way of talking about his game.
I mean, this maybe was not the best week of Yule explaining things.
No, he did go overboard at the final tribal council and talking about the fire tokens. And he did. I'm not saying that Yule played this perfectly either. He made a big mistake by making himself out to be more of a threat than he already was. But why not have this guy who plays a very loyal game, who's probably not going to turn on you, and then turn on him at some point deeper into the game? I don't see why now is the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just the position. I feel like it's a situation where, yeah, so maybe they've already been like, okay, we're not going to go to the end with him. But I do think their point of, well, Yule is pretty much running this. He's got all these plays set up. He's got like four different types of offense. You do this, we'll get that coin from that person, give that coin to that person. Then we'll split the difference and we'll give half the coin to this person. It's a lot to be played. And because it's a lot, and because he's got such a good way of going about it and explaining it, he'll run point. So then you're in a position of, well, we're all Yule's like underlings. Mm. So then we don't really have anything to separate us. So it's kind of like a position where, you know, Denise last week goes, mm-hmm. I need to put myself on the map. If they let you control it, they're under the map. You know, they're not on the radar at all. So then they might be in a position where, okay, we got Yule out at final 7, but we don't have enough time to really carve out a narrative of our own. Whereas right now, they could be in a position where they do bring, having Michelle, even though it's a little bit of a shaky relationship, the fact that she is some kind of a connective tissue to the other side might play well for them. Because, you know, everyone else kind of has that with the, you know, we're seeing Ben have, Sophie and Sarah have Ben from the other tribe. So it's like Michelle's kind of their link there in case they need to plug in there. So some doors are open for them. All this does is allow them to kind of control their game and their direction more. Now, will that direction lead further down the line or really hit a dead end quick? That's what we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some of the other stuff that's going on here in these tribes. Puya, you want to talk a little bit about where Tony stands right now at the Dekal tribe? So we saw Tony seemingly running races against himself for the amusement mm-hmm. of the rest of the tribe.
For the entertainment of the folks. He doesn't have any stakes in it. He's going to get ridiculed. They're going to call him. He's running like an old person. But honestly, I'm just baffled that 7 episodes in to this season, I can still say Tony is on my screen. I can now say Tony made the merge. It's incredible. And Tony's plan of, hey, I'm going to paint Denise as the next coming of the best player to have ever lived is very interesting to me, particularly when you look at how big of a target he is himself. But I just love it. Every second of Tony we're getting, whether it's comical or it's him talking strategy, is a blessing.
Yeah. Jordan, I know you must have been very pumped up when Tony's tribe ended up narrowly edging out the Sele tribe for immunity this week.
I jumped off my couch and I did not know that it would result in Yule getting voted out, because Yule and Tony are like my two of definitely my favorites this season. But I was so excited because I didn't know exactly what was going to happen on the Sele tribe. Clearly, I was very surprised by it. If that tribe, if Dekal went to tribal council, Tony was gone. Like, Denise and Jeremy are sticking together. And it seemed pretty clear from those confessionals that Kim was going to side with them too, as she should, because she was not part of that original big, original Dekal group with Tony. So I think that Tony was absolutely a goner if that tribe went to tribal. But guess what? It doesn't matter now. We're merging next week. And Tony is going to be able to get back potentially with, you would assume with Sarah. You would assume that Sarah and Sophie have gotten closer now. Maybe that's a group that's able to come together. And then maybe you have Ben, potentially Adam. You never know. So I think Tony might actually be in a spot where he's in the numbers next week, which is insane to think about. And especially now with Yule, who was a big threat, he's gone. People are going to still be looking at who are the shields. And Tony's status as a shield is now even more valuable to the other people in the game because Yule is out. So even though I think it hurts him numbers wise, it might help him in the short term.
Yeah.
I think for me, the other thing too is I definitely felt like this tribe did not want to go to tribal. Like, yes, Tony was the easy, let's pluck him out, but they all really wanted all four of them to make it. So I do think this is a group of people that even though Tony would have been the one on the outs if they went to tribal, that I could see all four of them working together as if nothing happened without a doubt.
Yeah.
So if this tribe is, if this tribe is Lamina, then Tony is the Dan Barry.
There you go.
There you go. Great. all right. We knew it was going to be, you know, somebody was going home. None of these tribes wanted to go to a, this tribal council. Yeah. Puya, I wonder, did Yule especially know that maybe something might have been up? Let me go back to a secret scene this week. And it seems like that Yule felt like especially strongly about that he needed to avoid going to tribal this week. This is from the secret scene, Selle Tremail.
If we lose, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But hopefully we win. Man, I'm going to be like girding my loins, wondering what's going to happen.
Yule's girding his loins.
Move over, Bequeath. We got a new phrase in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to Google this because I didn't understand what it meant. But yeah, no, I think you saw the writing on the wall a little bit because the loins were burning and not in the good way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you gird your loins, Puya?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's an action. I'm not sure if it's like a manual. You have to like do something to like trigger it.
Yeah.
I think it's just a feeling you get.
Yeah, so it looks like from what I can understand, it looks like it's sort of like when you are like putting on like a toga, and it seems like when you are like tying the different sides of it together in the middle, it's like you're preparing yourself with your loincloth. Yeah, you want to make sure you don't have any sort of like wardrobe malfunction, Jordan.
No, I'm actually, the first thing that comes up on Google is like a step by step of how one would. Gird your loins.
Gird your loins.
You know, maybe I think Yule has a point. I think we should be girding our loins.
Yeah. Does that involve the buff in some way?
I've never girded my loins.
Yeah.
I guess he could, but that would be buffing your loins.
But okay. All right. Easy. This is not a Dr. Mike podcast.
Okay. I feel like this is a dance move that should become a thing through the Survivor community.
The gird?
Yeah.
Not the David the Girton? Gird. Yeah. Jordan. Once upon a time, you took a lot of pride in that you built the Ben and Adam alliance, that you said that I brought them together on Twitch. I did this. I made this alliance. I take all the credit for it. These two are an unbreakable pair.
Yes.
What happened? Where did this go wrong?
Yeah.
Well, they needed me. Like, I wasn't there.
You're the glue. You're a glue guy.
I'm the glue. Yeah, of course I'm the glue. Yeah, I mean, if what did you expect to happen? If Kalish wasn't there, it was bound to fall apart. I don't take any responsibility for the two of them, you know, seeming to be on each other's nerves right now.
Can this be fixed?
I think it can be fixed because Adam has shown before that he's a player like he'll constantly talk to people who he's maybe not working with. He'll always try to like, you know, he's like the classic Captain Loophole. If you're going to talk about the AJ Mass archetype, like I think he's always looking for an angle. And if he sees working with Ben is beneficial to him, even if Ben is getting on his nerves, I think he'll do it. But does it go both ways? Because Ben has also shown that when he's annoyed by somebody, it's very hard for him. Like kind of like with Joe Mena in a, HHH, it's very hard for him to work with somebody who he's not getting along with. But I still think that, I mean, it seems like they may still have an underlying respect for each other, even though they're getting on each other's nerves. And they clearly would have been on the opposite side of the vote if that tribe had went to tribal council. I don't think it's necessarily over, but I don't think it's a complete lost cause either. I would be surprised, though, if the two of them are able to both go far in the game together, but can they work together on a vote? I'm sure that they could pull together and maybe work together in the short term.
Puya, are you worried about Adam coming into this merge?
I mean, I've been worried about Adam since episode one. So the fact that he's still here, you know, props.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a good sign, but I feel like he's been on bar. To me, he's been on borrowed time from the jump. So every time he makes it further, I'm like, oh, you know, well done. You know, you made it. I do think the relationship between Ben and Adam is kind of like a sibling type thing. Like Ben's the big brother and he really takes digs at the little brother. But ultimately, you know, they're there for each other. You know, they appreciate each other. And again, for me, this is the same situation where now that they get to the merge, I could see them potentially, you know, teaming up again, playing a little bit together. It's a very fluid situation here. I will say their rivalry and just Ben as the comedic relief this year, this season has been great to me. I did not expect Ben to be the one in this role, but it's been so good.
Yeah. Ben is, you know, kind of a goofball. And I think that he was singing about peanut butter and jelly this week. He seems like he's getting under Adam's skin a little bit. Is you think that's intentional, Puya?
What, that he's trying to get Adam mad? I think so. I think it's
like, is he trying to get Adam on tilt? Basically, like one of these guys is going home if they go to tribal. Is Ben trying to set off Adam?
He's winding him up. Definitely he's winding him up. I mean, he's like saying peanut butter, and like maintaining eye contact with him until he looks and then he doesn't. It's just, it's great. It's great. I enjoy this relationship a lot.
Ben is getting on my last nerve right now. He's bothering him. Okay. All right. Are you guys ready to talk about what's going on in the world of Survivor social media? Anything else you want to touch on before we get to social media?
No, ready to talk some tweets.
All right, let's talk about
what's... My loins are girded.
Are your loins girded and ready to go, Jordan? Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. Take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets, let it henceforth be known. From now on, I'll be rapping in Ben's high-pitched new tone. Tweets.
New tone for Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Okay. I'm digging it.
All right. So far, so good. All right. Let's talk about a bunch of stuff going on. Of course, our big story for this week was Sandra Diaz-Twine has left the edge of extinction. Puya, do you have a reaction to Sandra?
Sad to see Sandra go. Definitely understand where Sandra came from. Definitely made sense to me. The queen retired as the queen, and that's all I really got to say. Mm-hmm. I think, sad that we won't see more Sandra, but I definitely understood and think it was the right call for Sandra.
Okay. I thought there was some backlash against Sandra P. Some people were upset. Most of the sensible people that I've talked to did not care, did not mind Sandra leaving the edge of extinction. Jordan, any issue with this?
My reaction to this, it's not like, first of all, let me start by saying I completely understand where she's coming from. You're Sandra Diaz-Twine. What you're known for in the game is winning two times. What you're not known for in the game is the ability to win a challenge against a bunch of people in order to get back in. And the chances of her, like we see, I mean, if I were her personally, I don't know like why you wouldn't wait for the challenge. Maybe it's a puzzle. Maybe it's something
wouldn't
that
kill you.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's only going to be probably like at most like a day or two. Like, why not wait and see what the challenge is? She would have lost the challenge. And then after that, if she wants to go, like, I understand it. Mm-hmm. What my main reaction was disappointment, not really in her, but in the fact that we won't be able to see her on the Edge of Extinction anymore. Because even though, you know, the Edge of Extinction is not my favorite part of the game, probably my least favorite part of the game. But if we do have to see it, it would be fun to see Sandra, who I think is not only one of the best players in Survivor history, but a top character. And also, I think seeing Sandra on a jury it was something that I was really looking forward to going into the season, because I knew the chances of her getting to the end were so low. However, with the Edge, I figured that everyone would just be on the jury. I did not think anyone was going to leave. So I was looking forward to seeing jury Sandra. Being a two-time winner gives you an interesting perspective into being a juror. So while I don't view it as quitting Survivor. Like I'm not viewing it as like I would view, you know, Colton or Nayanka or someone like that who quit the game, and it really affects everyone else in the game when you quit. But she did leave the Edge of Extinction on her own volition. And I think the my main reaction was disappointment, but also understanding of why she made the decision.
Okay. Russell Hantz took to Twitter shortly after the episode and went on a tirade about Sandra. WTF! ! At Sandra D. Twine, you're a quitter. He retweeted Alexis Maxwell, who said, "Wait, what? Sandra, don't quit." Russell Hantz later said, "I already have so much to say. Queens, don't quit." Russell has put out podcasts, YouTube videos on this subject. You're an effing quitter, he says. And go check out Russell Hantz's coverage for more on all of that. So Sandra would go on to block Russell Hantz, and then Russell took a victory lap about Sandra blocking him. But Sandra, not to be forgotten, had a bunch of tweets from the past that she was in previous confrontations with Russell, went on to say, "My heart breaks for you. So sad that you wake up and think of me and my wins." This was in a 2017 tweet. She also previously have said to him, "There you go again, trying to be relevant by always bringing me up. Get a life. How about you go on Survivor and win for once?" So no love lost with Russell and Sandra. But Puya, galaxy brain thinking. Once upon a time, Boston Rob pitched himself and Russell at the center of a season, at the Heroes versus Villains finale. Do you think, is Russell trying to get a Sandra versus Russell season off the ground?
It wouldn't surprise me, you know, based on, Russell is kind of making his money out of this week. You know, he's got all his content going. He's very vocal about it. He's feeling a way. I do think this is kind of him maybe trying to reverse the curse, maybe trying to do the Boston Rob onto someone else, challenge someone else, you know, kind of declare a duel. At the same time, I don't think it's going to work. I think Sandra got voted out. She was out of the game when she, quote unquote, quit. That's all fine. Russell's also played four times, and Russell's not won. So, you know, it be what it be. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Four times with Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Russell's really worked up about this. I could see it. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. But he really was very worked up. All right. Yul Kwan tweeted, "Oh, well, I knew this moment was coming. It still hurt to watch. On the bright side, at least everyone spelled my name right this season. I'm super grateful for all the support I've gotten and hope that those who follow me are kind to @WendellHolland, @KyNickWilson, and @MishFitz. Please, everybody, be kind." Also,
I love you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, what a classic.
Yes, please, no hate or bitterness to any of them or anyone else on the show. This is a crazy game. It's still just a game, and I know them to be good and decent people in the real world, which really matters. See you on the Edge World. Meet my man crush @EthanZahn. Whoa.
And what I will say too, like, I think Yul makes a good point there, and it's obviously something that we brought up with Iman last week. I'm sure that Nick and Wendell, like, they're both smart players. They're both people who've won this game. I'm sure they had their rationale for doing it. I don't think it was just like a spur of the moment thing where, like, oh, we're just going to blindside Yul. So I do think that they're coming from a place of what they think is good strategy. I just personally don't think it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of Wendell, Wendell clapped back to the Survivor Twitter account, tweeted out a gif of Wendell doing the puzzle, said, "Probably not the best time to brag, ... Survivor." And Wendell said, "Bragging? What?" Yeah, they're really a feud between Wendell. Is there a feud between Wendell and Michelle or Wendell and Jeff Probst, Jordan?
I think it's a little bit both at this point. I mean, I think that the Wendell and Michelle thing has maybe been exaggerated for the purposes of creating a television show. The Probst thing, I don't know why Probst would have anything against Wendell. Maybe I don't know if he misheard Wendell. What I do think potentially happened, though, when Jeff did make the comment about Wendell either bragging or trash talking or whatever, or talking during the challenge, maybe Nick didn't necessarily hear what Wendell said, but he heard Jeff's reaction, which is why he thought Wendell was showboating or trash talking during the challenge. Because if he heard what Wendell said, and especially when Nick's a big Survivor fan, he knows that Wendell lost the challenge once in Survivor, and Fishback made this point on Know It Alls. He lost the challenge on Survivor because he didn't call out that he won. I think he was just trying to get Probst's attention.
Yeah, I mean, totally makes sense what Wendell was trying to do. That Wendell made an Instagram video talking about the response that he's been getting. And this is Wendell from Instagram.
What up? It's your boy, the villain himself. Guys, thank you very much for all the love and support and all the hate. Love it. From the one and only narcissist who hates everybody and is so full of himself and is so cocky and arrogant and all of that. I love it. Love y'all. This villain edit is really doing a number on my merch. Like, got me moving a lot of stuff. I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Keep hating me. Send me all the hate you got. Keep it good. No racists. Nothing about my family. Nothing, no kill yourself, no more of that, but everything else is fair game.
Okay. All right. So, well, Wendell taking it, being a good sport, but Wendell is a villain, Puya? What is this?
He's so lovable. He was so lovable. I don't know how we got here.
I don't know. It's like, this is like a wrestling thing where we're trying to make somebody into a villain, but did he do anything that was villainous, Jordan? And did I miss that episode?
I mean, like, some of the interactions with Michelle haven't maybe like been shown in the best light, but I mean, he didn't do it. I mean, look, it's got to be tough when you come into Survivor with someone that you dated or kicked it with or whatever, and maybe it didn't end so well. So I think it's a situation that would throw anyone for a loop. But Wendell is someone who won Survivor.
So him and Michelle had a bad breakup. Yeah. He's a villain for this.
No,
I don't even understand.
What I'm saying is that if anyone's been edited as a villain this season, it's him. I don't think he's a villain. He's a guy who won Survivor because of his social game. Like, he beat Dominic, and everyone pointed to the fact that it was the social game over the strategic game. So I don't think he's villainous at all. But if anyone has been edited to be a villain this season, I mean, you have to look at Wendell as being the villain of the season. But that could completely change. Who knows what's going to happen after the merge? It could be anyone. Tony could become a villain.
I just like it when the villains are actually doing villainous stuff and not just like have like evil music behind them.
Yeah. But I like that Wendell's owning it. At least he didn't have like music with lyrics behind him. Like, it should be like Scar singing Be Prepared or something.
Okay. All right. Speaking of the music, Victoria Bamonde, she said, I'm ranking that weird effing music last in my power rankings this week.
Yeah, completely agree. It really took me out of the episode. I mean, it was a very good confessional by Michelle, and they're just, I don't know. It felt like a promo. It didn't feel like Survivor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was very mad at a lot of things in this episode, and that was one of them.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that they did that because everybody made such a big deal about the Australian Survivor promo where they had the cover of I Did It My Way, and everybody was going off about like, see, this is how you do it, U.S. Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think I'm ready to have the Michael Bay sound effects make their way from AU to this iteration of Survivor to the U.S. Survivor. But it was a fun one-off, you know. It was kind of like, it did feel like a superhero movie where like the superhero getting dressed, getting ready, about to get in the vehicle to leave. So for Michelle to be the powerful, like, I got this, I'm going to control my narrative, he's going to regret doing this. I liked all of that. But because the rest of the episode didn't have that kind of music, it just came out of left field.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The rest of the 20-year series didn't have music with words in the middle.
I don't know if they do custom ringtones anymore, but this should definitely be Michelle's ringtone for Wendell. Hello, new phone, who dis? New season.
Like, since the only time I could really ever think where it was acceptable to have music with lyrics on Survivor was maybe the Mecha Challenge in Survivor Fiji.
Okay. did they have lyrics?
Yeah, the Mecha? They have lyrics. I could actually sing that song in my head right now. I could.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. You need a backing track?
No, I don't know if I need. I don't know. I'm not.
Can
a
you
good
dance
singer.
The meke? Also, we're recording this on video in the Facebook group.
Can I do a meke? I mean, I couldn't do a flip like Dreams did at the end of the meke.
No.
I'm not doing a meke.
No meke.
No meke.
All right. Hannah Shapiro at Hannah Little Nessin said, Michelle giving Wendell a token is every girl in a kicking it situation trying to build trust with the guy who keeps texting you up. Asterisk, this is in good fun. Do not send hate to anyone. Asterisk.
Really, okay. We've got to preface it at this day and age now with Twitter.
Yeah. The fire token for Wendell, Puya, could you talk us through that move from Michelle's perspective of like, is that like, hey, don't vote me out next of like, hey, here's a fire token.
Right. Well, like, so looking at it, right, despite all their efforts last round, Wendell still voted out Parvati. Now Michelle's on the outs and she's got this this breakup that's been, you know, it's got the tenseness hasn't gone anywhere. So I think it was her way of being like, hey, listen, I got the tokens. I know we were trying to work out a deal. This is a token from me to know that there's no beef. I promise you, I'm not holding any ill will. Please don't look at it that way. Take this token and just keep me in mind. You know, we're still good moving forward. Yeah. Even though, you know, we get Wendell saying stuff like, oh, so now you're teaching me how to play. So now you're like, you don't think I know how to play? Mm-hmm. So even though we got all that, it was just her way of being like, hey, this line of communication is open. You're not dead to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good move. I mean, I think it's maybe one of the reasons why she stayed in.
Yeah. Is it sort of like when you're like at a poker game, Jordan, you gotta like, you tip the dealer after the end. She's like, she made a bunch of fire tokens that round. She's got to tip Wendell.
I guess, but only if you win, though. Only if you're winning. And I guess none of them got voted out in the previous tribal. So
yeah,
they won.
Okay. All right. This is from at the T Freddy, Tyler Fredrickson, aka Tucker Ferguson. He said that could anyone else imagine at Brett LaBelle and at Ham 0481 looking for fire tokens on the edge? I would die laughing. If you saw the Amazing Race Reality Star Edition, you would know those guys would still be out there.
They should put the fire tokens underwater.
Put them underwater. That would be a good one. Okay. Yule Kwan voted out this week. His friend Jonathan Penner, very upset. He tweeted out, just heartbroken. As he talked at Tribal, we were all like, shut up. Don't be so smart. What he did for Stacey, the kids and me, how he inspired and made all of us better, how he came straight at ALS, how he played his ass off. My hero, and that's no lie. At Yule Kwan rules.
Love
it was very
that.
Nice. Very nice.
Very nice too, yeah. And it really like, it's cool to see that they've stayed such good friends after this. And I mean, anytime like the fact that Penner is also, you know, putting this out on Twitter, like you could tell how appreciative he is of this. And I think it's great that Yule has made ALS such a big issue.
Yeah. Finally, T-Bird Cooper. She did not like to see the end of the old school players this week. She said that fire tokens really messing up some gameplay. Where'd the fire tokens mess up the gameplay, Jordan?
I mean, I think maybe Yule started talking about them too much, which is part of the reason he got voted out. I think maybe that's what she's talking about.
Okay. She said, hashtag new school. We are clearly a threat. This isn't the end. Signed, hashtag old school. At Jeff Probst, at Survivor CBS, at Survivor. And then also, no, at Yule Kwan, at Jeff Probst, can old school please have a do-over? So,
T-Bird, they do have a do-over. They have the Edge of Extinction.
yes. Okay. And that's why Tucker Ferguson also said, somewhere out there is a Survivor season where the Edge tribe competes against the Merge tribe for a player to get back into the game. I mean, I think that was called Pearl Islands. People didn't love that. Hey, I thought it was good. Do you think that if Sandra would have gone to the outcast tribe, Pooyah, that would she have just like pieced out from the out?
It's kind of like with when Keith and Wendy left last time. I completely understood their decision too. Like I did, I didn't love it. I didn't like the fact that they wouldn't stick it out to the end. Especially, they didn't know they would have been jurors, but they could potentially have had a chance to get in. But I understand the decision. Same with Sandra. But they don't have the credo that she does. So I get it more from Sandra than I do from those guys.
Let's talk about some of the results from our Rob Has a Pollster Twitter account. Wanted to know, Sandra became the first player this season to raise the sail. Which of the following represents how you feel about her decision? Sandra can do what she wants, or I wish Sandra had stuck it out. What percentage of the listeners, Pooyah, do you think said that Sandra can do whatever she wants?
I'm going to go for an exact number. I feel good about it. I'm going to go with 77.
Okay. Did you get my notes ahead of time?
I did not. Why? What's the number?
That's on the button, 77.
Wow. You win both prizes.
Wow.
Amazing.
The thing is, are those two things mutually exclusive? Like, I think you can say that Sandra can do whatever she wants because she can, but still,
are you saying poorly worded question, Jordan? Is that what you're saying?
Poorly worded choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We also asked people, who do you want to come back from the edge, Jordan? Who do you think was the number one person that the people that we polled said that they wanted to come back to the edge? Had 30% of the vote.
I'm like between three people right now. Like I would have to think like, Tyson is such a big name in the RHAP universe. Plus he's such a great character. Ethan is an old school favorite that everyone loves. And then Natalie just went out way too early and she's been killing it on the edge. I'm going to say the RHAP audience won Tyson.
Tyson is right. 30%. Second is 17% for Natalie, 16% for Ethan, 15% for Poverty, only 7% for Boston Rob with 3 fire tokens.
Yeah.
People do not think he's coming back. All right. And then Pooyah, we asked the people that we polled, if you had a bet, who do you think is going to win Survivor Winners at War? One person had there were two people that were way out in front. One person had 39%. Second place was 24%. Nobody else was in double digits. Who do you think was one of the top two people?
One of the top. I don't think my winner pick of Denise is up there. I think Sophie's definitely one of the top two.
Yeah, Sophie, 39%. You guess who the other person is?
Sarah Lucina.
No, not Sarah Lucina.
Oh. Ooh, Jeremy.
No.
Oh, who am I? Who?
Michelle?
You better be ready.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Let's also check in with what's going on over on FanDuel. FanDuel has a brand new game for Survivor fans. It allows you to play some Fantasy Survivor for free every week for a chance to win some FanDuel bonus cash. You could play every week for free at fanduel.com/RHAP. There was $2,040 in FanDuel bonus cash up for grabs this week. The players, you pick 5 players for your lineup, and there was a tie for the best FanDuel players this week. Jordan, can you guess who the top two players are that tied for the FanDuel players of the week? 24.2, the highest scoring FanDuel players this week.
I'm going to say Michelle, and I'm going to say Wendell.
No. It was Sarah and Sophie, 24.2 points each.
What is the scoring?
So I'll tell you. Like, so they get 12 points for immunity. going to tribal council does not help you that much.
I figured that voting in the majority would
and
help
then
you.
A bequeathed fire token, 7.2 points for each of them, and surviving the week, 5 points. So for Michelle and Nick, they only 5 points each. Then if you had Yule in your lineup this past week, that was a minus 14 and a half points for you get minus 1.5 points for each vote received and minus 10 for voted out.
I think it's good I didn't play then, because I may have had Yule in my lineup. Mm-hmm. Going into the episode, I thought there was no chance he'd get voted out.
Yeah. If you had Adam, Ben, Denise, Kim, Jeremy, and Tony, they all racked up 17 points this week. So ideally, your top lineup would have been Sarah and Sophie, plus three of Adam, Ben, Denise, Kim, Jeremy, or Tony for 17 points. Okay, so that's...
You know, I'm sure a lot of people had Sarah and Sophie.
Probably a lot of people did, but you need five. You got to have all the top five, baby. Okay. All right. So you can play for free each week at FanDuel.com/RHAP. And with that, let's get into our latest edition of the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Okay. All right. Puya, are you... Yes. Are you prepared for the quiz?
I'm about as prepared as one can be. We'll find out if I...
We're coming.
Was that you dedicating that song to me? Or are you telling me to be ready? Okay. I'm worried now. I'm shaking in my boots a little bit.
Okay. All right. Jordan.
All right.
Can you set the stage here?
You've been on what? You've done this once before or twice before? You've been on
twice. I believe this is my third appearance.
And what is your record right now on This Week in Survivor History?
I am 0-2, and I believe one of them we went to a double tiebreak and I still lost. Wow.
We are we're in the thick of things here. Puya, you can get your first win in your This Week in Survivor History career. You know the rules, but just in case anyone doesn't know the rules at this point, if you hear the multiple choice options on any of these, you get 1 point if you're right, but your opponent can't steal. If you go for two and you don't hear the that means you don't hear the multiple choice options, you get 2 points if you're right. Your opponent can steal a point, and then we'll go to a final round where both of you can receive points. Our four categories that we have today are Banana Etiquette, Villains AF, Living in Luxury, and Challenge Throws. And Puya, as the guest, you get to choose your category first.
Let's go for the etiquette. I'm going to go for the Banana Etiquette.
Okay, Banana Etiquette. We're going to Survivor Heroes versus Villains. The episode is actually called Banana Etiquette from March 24th, 2010, 10 years ago Tuesday. Before he was voted out, who lectured James Clement on the importance of Banana Etiquette?
Oh, I don't even think I need the multiple choice here. I'm going to go with Amanda for two, Jordan.
Amanda, his good friend from Survivor China, is correct. Puya, you start off well. You have a 2-0 lead. And Rob, you get to pick the next category.
Okay. Could I hear them one more time?
Yep. Villains AF, living in Luxury, and Challenge Throws.
I'll go with Villains AF.
Okay, so we're actually going to the same episode that we just spoke about before. Mm-hmm. During the episode in which Tyson essentially voted himself out, both tribes went to tribal council and competed in an individual immunity challenge. Who defeated Tyson and was therefore immune from the vote?
Try to hold serve. I believe it was Rob.
So Boston Rob, great at challenges in his Survivor career, and he proves it there. 2 points there for Rob. Boston Rob was immune at that tribal council. I wonder if the Russell, Parvati, Danielle side maybe would have put the votes on Rob if he wasn't immune. Who knows? That's something that's a question for another time. I guess the next time you talk to somebody from the Villains tribe.
That was a perfect plan. We didn't need to change anything.
Yeah. Well, if Tyson was immune, it probably would have been Boston Rob.
I'm surprised Puya, Sandra didn't quit. When she saw the votes were coming for her friend.
In my multiple choice options, I did not have Sandra as a fake answer because she has never won an individual challenge in her Survivor career. Puya, we have Living in Luxury and we have Challenge Throws.
Let's go for Challenge Throws.
Okay, so we're going to Worlds Apart. The episode is Odd Woman Out from March 25th, 2015, 5 years ago Wednesday. Rodney conspired with some of his tribe mates to throw the last immunity challenge before the merge. This plan ended up backfiring and his bro Joaquin was blindsided. Who was the intended target of Rodney's challenge throw?
Oh my God. Okay. Worlds apart, not my strong suit, surprisingly enough. Can I get the multiple choice, please?
Sure. Was it A, Joe Anglim, B, Mike Holloway, C, Tyler Fredrickson, aka Tucker Ferguson, or D, Dan Foley?
What were A and B?
A was Joe and B was Mike Holloway.
Okay, I'm going to go with B, but I'm very unsure.
So Mike Holloway was actually one of the people he had conspired with, but Mike and Dan flipped. Joe would have been the one to go out here. Joe was the correct answer, and they voted out Joaquin. So, Puya, you don't get a point on that question, and Rob, you get the last one. Living in luxury, we're going to Survivor Redemption Island, which has been, I believe Rob's fact checker on Twitter has pointed out that Redemption Island is the has the lowest number of Twitch questions ever asked for obvious reasons. The episode is the redheaded stepchild from March 23rd, 2011, 9 years ago Monday. When players were sent to Redemption Island, they each received a luxury item. Whose luxury item was a Bible?
So Puya, did you you missed it on the multiple choice?
I did. I asked for the multiple choice and I missed that.
All right, all right. I kind of think it's Matt Elrod, right? I'll say Matt Elrod.
Matt Elrod is incorrect. Puya, you have a chance to steal a point.
All right, can you reset the question so I make sure I heard it correctly?
Sure. When players were sent to Redemption Island, they each received their luxury item. Whose luxury item was a Bible?
Redemption Island, Bible. Oh, and I can only steal. I can't ask for multiple choice at this stage.
You can't get the multiple choice.
Oh, I don't even remember the cast right. Okay, this is... And I would have guessed Matt, Rob. So yeah, we'd be in the same
I think boat. I know who it is now.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember their names. This is not a good showing for your boy. At that stage, how many people had gone? Okay. Yeah, Jordan, I really can't remember anyone's name. Like, I'm choking hard.
So you can pass. You can always just pass, and you won't get a point if you don't give me an answer.
If I could just remember one name, I'd give you at least an answer. this is bad. So Redemption Island, they got their luxury item.
Yeah.
Who got? There was a Mike on that. I'm gonna go with Mike. Mike.
Mike Cheezel is not the correct answer.
Krista Klump, right?
Krista Klump. Yes. Yeah, so Krista Klump got her Bible when she went to
Krista Klump,
which is why Eliana got it, which is why she and Matt Elrod actually bonded over that. And Andrea Belke, who was there watching the challenge.
Yeah,
Andrea did not like that.
Klump and then when, Matt Elrod came back into the game, Andrea was like, yeah. Sorry, Matt Elrod. Back to Redemption Island for you.
Yeah. Those were both of those questions that you got wrong were pretty tough questions. So now we're going to the final round. And as we've been doing this season, this final round is going to be about the person who got voted out, which is Yule. So we are going to Cook Islands, which was not a season from This Week in Survivor history, but who cares? So this is going to be true or false. Very simple game, simple rules. You are tied. Puya, you're the guest. So you get to go first and you have to give me a number between 1 and 6.
On the spirit of the one hit wonder bracket, I'm going to go with Mambo number 5, please.
Okay. Go with 1.
Mambo number 5. And the question is, Yule's I24 alliance voted together at every tribal council they attended as a group. Is that true or false? Yule's I24 alliance voted together at every tribal they attended as a group.
Yes, true.
It's actually false. Yule and Becky, the first time they went to tribal together, right after the swap, Yule and Becky voted for Cecilia. Ozzy and Sundra actually voted for Becky. So Puya, unfortunately, you do not get a point there. And Rob, based on the rules of the quiz, if you get this one right, you win. Because if you're wrong, you don't get any more points in the quiz. However, okay. Rob, if you're wrong,
keep going.
We just go to the next question.
It's a lot of stakes here for me, because if I get it right, the quiz is over. If I get it wrong, the quiz has to keep going.
That is true. That is how it works. So we're going to number six. After voting out Jessica Flicka-Smith.
Yeah.
Yes. After voting out Jessica Flicka-Smith, and it's fun getting to look at these pre-merged Cook Islands people again. After voting out Jessica Flicka-Smith, Ewell didn't go to tribal council again until the merge.
True.
True is correct. After that, that's actually when the mutiny happened. It's when Penner and Candace realized that they were going to be on the outs, and the I-24 did not go to tribal until the merge vote, when Ewell got four votes and it was almost voted out, but he was able to show Penner the idol and save himself. So Rob, you win the quiz 3-2. Congratulations, Puya. You are 0-3, but that's all right. You'll get your win one day.
One day. I mean, I'm in a household where one of us has won all the time and one of us has lost all the time.
So Liana's won two or three times or something. I think Liana might. Does Liana have the record?
I think she shares
most
the record.
Wins.
Shares it.
I think so.
She definitely has at least two wins. I think she's the only. She's one like one of. Oh yeah, I think she and Mary Kwiatkowski are the only two people who have beaten you twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Do I have the most losses?
You're bringing down the house average. Yeah,
maybe you could ask John Fincher one day what that's like to, you know, be under the same roof with the winner.
The posing L collector. Yeah.
Just check my math, guys. 2 + 1 = 3, right?
Yeah. Yes.
There
we okay.
Well
there
done.
You go.
Yes.
There you go.
And I think Chrissy Benton Shipley for giving me this in the RHAP gift exchange 2 years ago.
Yeah. Since we started doing these on video, Jordan is like a prop comic now. He's got like so many different things that he's holding up.
I mean, it goes back to the preseason with the bookcase, and the bookcase. we've just been hits.
Should I be, as long as we're doing these live podcasts, should I be turning my desk to go into bookcase mode?
I don't think it matters.
bookcase mode,
I'll
cowboy.
Take it.
I think you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, this wall is like, it's a boring wall behind me. I don't know if anyone realized, but last time no one commented, but I had a picture of Blake Towsley on the wall. It was like a really small picture. So it might have been too small.
You got
to see.
Easter eggs in Easter your video egg. Feed?
I usually do. It was going to be the sign this time, but like if I put the sign back there, there's nowhere to hang it up, and there you wouldn't have been able to read it anyway.
Maybe you should do Where's Blake Towsley like Bryce does with Where's Wendell on Twitter.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, what else am I doing right now?
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any questions for Puya?
Oh, I do actually, and I forgot to do some scrolling. This is bad.
Okay. All right. Then we can.
You guys just buy some time. Find out who the first winner that Puya followed on Twitter was.
No, that's fine. It's fine. If we don't have it, we don't have it. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Puya, what else are you working on? What else you got going on?
So Masked Singer is still going on. We just hit the midway point.
Can you tell us, Puya, that is Corona, does that affect the Masked Singer in any way? Like, is there some sort of like live finale show?
So, yeah. So I'm not sure exactly how far in they've recorded, because like they recorded the final, like 4 or 5 episodes in. They recorded an episode around like Feb 11th. So I know they're recording as it's going on. They don't have all of it done. So I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. The Masked Singer is notorious for being sneaky like that. Like, I could see them using old footage of the audience and just meshing it into the episode and pretending that it was recorded in front of a live audience. I could see that kind of nonsense going on, especially because the voting happens in-house for who gets unmasked. So it's not like a live vote. So if there's no audience, who's voting? Is it just the four judges? Maybe.
Yeah.
Why not do a live vote? Like you could just do like a Twitter vote as the episode's going on. I think that'd be more fun.
But
I'd be down.
But have all the performances been recorded on Masked Singer?
Definitely not.
Are they going to just hit a wall with this?
Zoom it.
I don't know. I'm not sure, because honestly, it could be a situation where they do what Jordan just said. and they do that. But the problem is they vote like I think they record like 2 days worth, like three episodes in like 2 days. So I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to pick and choose who they want to make it far. Honestly, is what I think.
Yeah,
is
but they, I mean, I don't know how they would record the studio show at this point. Like nothing is in production.
No, I think they're going to use stock footage from their last two seasons is my prediction on how I think I could see them going with that. But either way, whether it continues or not, the podcast will for now.
Yes.
So you guys can catch that with Leona Boris every week. We recorded an episode last night covering this week's and last week. So it's a good doubleheader. That'll be coming out some point this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. You can find me on Twitter at PuyaIsm. And I don't know, Rob, maybe I'll be talking to you soon again. Who knows?
Yeah, we're working on dipping our toe in different waters. A WrestleMania preview could be in the works as well in a time where not a lot of other sports going on right now. Big WWE WrestleMania coming up next weekend. Maybe we'll be talking some WrestleMania with Uncle Kiwi sometime early next week as well. So
I've cooked in the last couple of days. I've been freezing a lot of my meals, so I hopefully won't go hungry at any time soon, and I don't have to go to the supermarket. But yeah, I mean, I'm.
I went today. Teaching, I went today.
Oh wow! How was that? Joe's.
Actually, it was line to get in, but it was actually very very calm at the store, and they had everything.
Well, that's good. That's always good news. It's good that people are handling this well, and I'm sure as the more we adapt to the situation.
But I went to a supermarket. It's called Trader Joe Exotics, where they have all the stuff that was like that people didn't want to buy at Walmart. That was all expired.
Yeah. How's your arm? Is your arm okay? Do you have all your limbs?
Good. Okay, we have everything.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm just like listening to a lot of podcasts as I always do, but now I don't have my commute, so I'm doing it more from home.
Yeah.
I am cooking. I'm watching all these TV shows. Still watching Mad Men. So is John Hennigan going to be part of WrestleMania? Isn't he in WWE now?
We'll find out.
I got my Slamtown buff ready, baby.
Your Slamtown buff is ready to go.
Jordan, he's my winner pick.
What about a new question for people about how do you take your coffee?
How do I take my coffee? Black.
Yes.
I don't like putting anything in coffee unless it's iced coffee.
No, because I found out that Puya before the show is a big Sweet and Low guy, and I said I never heard. I didn't know anybody that was a Sweet and Low guy.
Yes,
and Sweet and Low is the ingredients that go into my coffee.
Yeah.
I don't like sweet.
I didn't even know they still made it Sweet and Low.
Yeah, it's just me and people outside of my age range that enjoy it pretty much. I knew for sure going into the store today that it was going to be there ready for pickup. I was not even concerned.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Just watch it because if sometimes the supermarkets now, they let the older people shop first, Puya. So they might just clean out all the Sweet and Low by the time you're allowed to come in.
I should have probably grabbed more, but hopefully I make it through with my.
Now, is it the little packets like at the diner, or can you get like a big thing of Sweet and Low?
So I could get the big thing, but I feel like it's only appropriate to have.
Yeah, I don't think they make packets. It other than just in the. You could buy a box of the pink packets. I think that's it.
Okay. That's what I got. 250 of them, and then I got a little Tupperware to put them in. Yeah.
And then what's the blue one? Equal. So what's the difference between Equal and Sweet and Low?
So okay.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different substance.
Yeah, like the green one is plant-based sweetener.
Yeah,
the pink one has a different ingredient than the blue one, but it's just artificial. Yeah,
somebody do a brand steal with all the sweeteners. Sure. The pink. I got the pink buff. I got the blue puff. The yellow buff and the green buff, and then everybody on the tribes of like what they put in the coffee. All right, let's wrap things up. We've got a lot still coming up, of course. Be on the lookout for the Wiggle Room and the Wand Off coming up for this week, plus much more in terms of our News AF coming up as well. Maybe we got some WrestleMania coverage coming up too, so be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.